On the way home, I drive so fast that I almost crash into another car at a red light. Once parked in the driveway, I'm in such a rush to enter the house that I arrive on the doorstep out of breath. When my husband finally appears, I am happy to see him, even happier than normal. I never miss him so much as when I spend time with another man. My infidelity has the inverse effect of what I intend. I return even more in love with him. Unsurprisingly, my husband asks me neither where I was nor with whom. Does he trust me or is he taunting me? I tell him about my faculty meeting in great detail, even though he doesn't ask me a single question. I justify myself, but he's not listening. He cuts me off to ask if we have baking powder somewhere. The bulge of his penis through his pants is the only meal I crave tonight. Maxime merely whetted my appetite. I hope my husband will want to make love once the children are asleep, but I don't let it show because I know it might scare him off. My libido intimidates him. He must always be the one to make the first move. Masculine desire is fragile. I watch my husband undress before taking his shower. He's wearing a piqué cotton sweater with a round neckline, a blue, slim-fitting Oxford shirt, beige chinos, microfiber underwear, Lyle socks. I know all his clothing by heart. I could recite the labels with my eyes closed. I know where and in what circumstances he bought them, in what store, on what trip, for what occasion. I know which shirt he won't wear this week because the collar is stained. This certainty reassures me. I am on familiar, already conquered terrain. The intimacy of a couple lies in the clothing. There is nothing more unsettling than running into a former partner and not recognizing certain parts of their outfit. I know those shoes and pants, but when did he buy that hat? Sweater, shirt, pants, underwear, socks. My husband layers his clothing as though adding to his mystery. That's why he's even more handsome when it's cold out. He's not a summer man. I prefer when he appears thicker, when his cheeks are reddened by the cold, his lips chapped and his hands gloved. He is at his most beautiful when bundled up. My husband is irresistible in his navy blue wool sweaters, much more so than when he wears shorts, sunglasses, or a bathing suit on the beach. And each winter, my husband is more handsome than he was the previous winter. It was only after I met him that I understood what it meant for someone to describe a man as aging well, or is it just my warped, enamored gaze? Right now, he is less handsome than he is in the middle of winter, but obviously I'm still attracted to him. After all, I met him in August, and it didn't take me until Christmas to fall in love. But I ask myself often what would have happened if I had met him in winter. Would I have dared to make the first move? Wouldn't I have found him too attractive for me? If I had met him for the first time on December 10th and not August 27th, would I have deemed him out of my league? The winter doesn't suit me as well. I disappear under scarves and coats that are unflattering for my silhouette. On the other hand, the sun does me good. My skin is softer. The dresses I wear show off my legs, and suntan lotion pairs well with my natural scent. The seasonality of our looks doesn't match, provoking the question, are we too different to be happy together? I listen discreetly to my husband from the other side of the bathroom door to see if he's singing a French song, which is what he does when he's in a good mood and more likely to want to make love. Then I pretend to read The Lover as I wait, taking care to open the book toward the end. Will he be impressed that I've read it so quickly? A few moments later, my husband enters the bedroom. He's naked. He has an erection. It quickly becomes clear that the next 15 minutes won't be spent commenting on my reading progress or debating the nouveau roman. He doesn't undress me. He never does. Instead, he asks me to take off my clothes. I obey. Then he enters me. I let him. I'm past the age of giving blowjobs, and we're past the age of complicated experimentation. He's quite hard, but his entire body is tensed against mine like a long wooden plank. I feel his penis pressing against me. I concentrate on his breath to gauge his pleasure. He uses his hands to impose a rhythm. I think again of the outline of his penis through his pants in the kitchen earlier. I desire him as though I've never touched him. My husband still smells like sweat, even though he's just come out of the shower. That lingering odor means he rushed through his shower to join me. He was so impatient to have me that he didn't take the time to wash himself thoroughly. Several years ago, when we had just come home from a tennis match, my husband wanted to take a shower before making love to me, but I felt bold enough to reveal that the smell of his sweat excited me, and he entered me on the spot. Perhaps he remembered that night. His thoughtfulness touches me. Colors and landscapes flit by beneath my eyelids. When I make love to him, I don't see fluids and bodies colliding. I don't see semen, and I don't see a cock. I see concepts and colors, geometric forms and places. Tonight, the images alternate among a wild stream, lush greenery, steep cliffs, a humid tropical forest. I restrain my breathing. I restrain myself. I put my fingers in my mouth so as not to moan. My husband probably thinks I'm trying not to wake up the children. Fortunately, the layout of our house facilitates our sex life, with the kids' rooms on the top floor. But in reality, I'm afraid that my desire for him will seem monstrous. I'm afraid that my excitement will disgust him if I come too hard. I'm on top of him when I notice the small wad of tissue paper that's hidden beneath the mattress poking out slightly. I manage to slide it under the bed with the tips of my fingers without him noticing. 3 rose petals, a pinch of coarse salt, a red ribbon, the age-old recipe for a love potion to prolong desire. I don't know if I believe in such things, but we have a rose bush in the garden, so why not use it? My husband grabs my breasts and pulls me to him, which surprises me because he's never been particularly enamored with my chest. In any event, I've never understood what he desires. More precisely, I've never understood what he finds erotic. Which details, which scents, which scenarios, which lingerie, which fantasies. After 15 years together, I still don't know whether my husband is more of a breast or butt man. Tonight, my husband seems more excited than usual, but I couldn't tell you why. Did he have a sex dream last night? Which would explain his nocturnal words of love, even if he didn't remember upon waking. Is it the effect of a low-cut neckline he glimpsed in a meeting this afternoon, or a co-worker's inappropriate confession? Did he meet a mistress during his lunch break? Did he do things with her that we've never done together? Did he find in another bed what he no longer seeks out in our marriage? Is that why he's suddenly so fiery? Or has he just left his mistress? Are all his thrusts communicating his despair at no longer being able to touch her? Another possibility. Is it a sort of virile instinct awakened by the smell of Maxime on my skin? I've noticed that my husband always makes love to me on days when I've slept with another man. I bury my nose in his neck to sniff out the scent of another woman. There's nothing. My husband has no mistress, and deep down, I know it. But even when he's deep inside me, my husband is out of my reach. Even now, I still miss him so much. When he leaves my body, he leaves a gaping wound, a horrible void, a gash waiting to be infected.